Dashboard Effect Podcast. I'm Rick Thompson.
I'm Caleb Oakes.
Hey, Caleb. So before we get started, just want to remind our listeners about all of the resources we've got on our BlueMargin.com website. Of course, you can find old episodes of this podcast, but lots of articles, white papers, all kinds of stuff out there.
Go check it out.
All right. If you're interested in this stuff that we're talking about here, you might like the stuff there too. Okay, so for this episode, we wanted to talk about data silos and what they are, why they're bad. I guess, can they ever be good? I guess we'll find out.
Data silos.
So what's a data silo?
So I think the simplest way to describe a data silo is, whenever I think about silos, just in general, I always think about those
farms.
Big farm silos.
Yeah.
And those contain, grain or whatever.
Right.
And they're kind of contained, and then you can get grain out of them when you need it, right?
Right.
So it keeps outside contaminants from messing up your grain, right?
That's right.
That's on purpose.
Right.
So a data silo would be kind of data that's contained, and it doesn't let outside things in unless it's very purposeful. Now that might sound like, oh, that's good. That's secure, right?
Yeah.
But turns out, you want to give people access to your data grain.
And you want to, all right, not to belabor this. Thank you, Hotchkiss, Colorado.
You're welcome.
But if you had rye grain in one and corn in another, those are obviously separated.
Yeah.
In the case of data, actually, you're going to want to end up mixing those a lot.
Yeah.
I think of data silos in businesses that same way, as separate chunks of data, and that's not as useful as being able to integrate and use it. But it's also data that you can't get to at all, and you may not even know it's there. So you might have data in a department that would be super useful across the company somewhere else, but it's in such a tight little silo. One, maybe you can't get to it, or two, maybe you don't know about it.
Yeah, like a missile silo. Like it's like underground.
Wow.
I know.
You got the analogies
got
going today.
Yeah, I got
all right, good. All right. So we sort of covered why a silo might not be good, but let's just enumerate that a little bit. So first thing I could think of why you don't want data silos is that often your best insights come when you mix different data sources.
Mm-hmm.
So you might, for example, bump a sales CRM data silo up against an HR data silo. Maybe that's not a great example, but you could maybe learn some things about that. Maybe in your HR data silo, you've got records about attendance or how much people work or that type of thing. And you could do interesting things with that data. So that's the first thing I could think of.
Yeah. Well, I think that's actually pretty common, right? Where you've got, you're tracking how many hours somebody works so you can pay them in your HR system. And then, but you're tracking their output, like number of widgets created in a operational system. So having those two things together, enables you to do things that you couldn't if you just kept them siloed. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then the second one is obviously the one I just talked about, data that you don't even know exists that could be helpful to you. You're in the ops side of the business. There's some data on the sales side of the business that would actually be helpful to maybe help you forecast and plan. You don't even know it's there.
Right. Yeah. I think that even happens to us sometimes. Like there's some stuff that gets captured on the sales side that we don't know about in ops and vice versa. So it's easy to have that happen. Like even if you think you got good visibility, there's like almost like hidden rooms of data grain, you may not be aware of because your business changes, right? People
right.
are going to start have a new process and they're putting data in differently in a different spot
right.
than you saw before. And so, yeah, I mean, it's easy for that to happen to you.
Yeah. And so that makes me think of a third one. We'll see if you agree with this, but I think also when you have data siloed, you can get data that's maybe not being used correctly or may not be correct. It's not getting broad enough access by other people that might be able to tell you, hey, that's not lining up with this data coming out of another part of our business.
Mm-hmm.
And you lose that. You can't do that validation against those different sets of data.
Right. Exactly. I think that's so common. I think it's more common than people think. It's something that people don't think about a lot, in my opinion, that you're going to have redundant data across your systems. You just will. It won't be exactly the same thing, but you will have it. Like, you're going to have the need to put a customer in one system and that same customer in another system. That's a basic example, yeah. But you know, you might put in the sales amount that you sold or you quoted and you sold a deal for, and then you, when you execute against that deal, you actually don't make that same money, but you have to put the number in over here of what you actually made. Right. So Now you've got technically the same deal or project or whatever, in two places, and they have different numbers on them. Right. So that can be a problem.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So What do you do about data silos?
Yeah. So, I mean, the best thing to do is I would just pull everything into one spot, right? So
you've got to say that.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. It's actually interesting. This makes me think of this new, term that's gaining popularity. Maybe, I don't know. I heard about it about a year and a half ago. It's called data mesh.
Hmm.
It's like this theory of how you empower the business with their own data.
Yeah.
And it really sounds kind of like a step backwards.
Why?
Because you're kind of having, the more you read about it, the less it sounds that way. But at first I was like, seems like we're going to go back to the siloed data days, you know, because it's for a long time, for at least a few years, longer than that, the theory has been pull everything into a data warehouse, right? Pull it all together. Now it's data lakes. And, but that's the overarching thing, is like, put it all in one spot.
Right.
This data mesh, is more in the realm of, I think, as far as I understand it, it's pull things into one spot, but then have your functional areas own their own piece of the data.
Got it.
Lake or data warehouse or whatever. Yeah. Right.
They own it from a governance standpoint.
Honestly, it's not super clear to me, and I haven't done deep research into it, but I know it's out there.
Yeah.
And anyway, I don't totally love it. I think you might as well just, especially where we work in that middle market area, and we're not talking about a 500 person HR department.
Right.
You
know? Right.
Maybe that's a ridiculous example, but you know, there's small enough companies to where it makes sense to have a single place, and it's kind of shared. More or less shared ownership between it, because there's so much crossover from these departments and stuff. So anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So good.
About that.
Yeah. So the way that you deal with it is pull all your data together. Mm-hmm. And in, you know, years ago, that was always a data warehouse, mm-hmm. Which tended to be expensive to build and maintain. There are so many stories about, you know, failed data warehouse projects that cost a lot of money, went way over budget, way over time, and then they got to the end and didn't do what they wanted. Now we're all using data lakes and data lake houses, which is like the best of both worlds. So you've got the you've got all the data in one place, but then you've got a semantic layer and data models on top of that, dipping into the data lake, that makes it it makes it really easy to get views and for business people to be able to deal with it.
Yeah, right. I think, you know, and I think another thing that's helped with that is the tools have come a long ways from the early data warehouse days, you know, where
it was a bunch of files, basically.
Yeah. The theory really has too, because the, you know, data warehousing was like, you got to figure out everything in the business, and then you build a data warehouse to meet any need you would possibly ever want. And that just never works.
Canonical data model.
Yeah. But also, you know, I think about when I dealt with one of what I would say a more traditional style data warehouse, earlier on in my career, I had to work with the IT team, and it took them like weeks to give me just a couple tables of data. I still don't know why it took so long. But I think it's probably because, they had so much going on already in that warehouse environment, and they only had so much bandwidth to like actually just move data around.
Yeah.
But now the tools and with the cloud, it's like tomorrow you could stand up a data factory pipeline and pull data, and I could have my tables that I was waiting on for 2 weeks literally tomorrow.
Immediately.
Yeah. So the second piece of that is using something like Power BI. It has some of the ETL type stuff that you might need to do on top of those raw tables that you get built into it. It's not going to do crazy things for you, but it's going to get you far enough to where you can get some insights.
You do quite a bit of modeling and shaping and so on. Yeah, that makes sense. I think the other thing that's great about the data lake, and you sort of already covered it, but the ease of creating a data pipeline to pull the data in makes it really inexpensive. Mm-hmm. So it's fast and it's cheap. I mean, and in IT, very often, I mean, there's licensing costs, hardware costs, but very often your most expensive thing is your engineers working on it. And you could just get stuff done a lot quicker. There's still a lot of really clever engineering needed to do the semantic layer and modeling and that type of stuff. But you're not waiting for months, or in your case, weeks for two tables, but months for a data warehouse that you can start working on.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's come a long ways. And I think that's what helps with the data siloing thing, right? That it's easier to pull that stuff together. And then you have more options on how you actually use it once it is all together.
Is there any disadvantage that you can think of to pulling all the data in? Let's say you've got an obscure data set. I don't know, something from maybe a CRM that you abandoned a year ago and aren't going to use again. You can get historical data. Is there a disadvantage at all to just pulling too much in there?
Theoretically, right? Like it's just gets confusing if you don't structure it well. So that's important to structure your lake or wherever you're storing this in a good intuitive way. But I guess the other thing would be security potentially. Oh, yeah. Like if you've got HR data in there, you don't want anybody to have access to like social security numbers, for example.
Right.
The way that we handle that ourselves is we just don't pull that column. Right. We would still pull like employee information, for example, but we're not going to pull the
personally identifiable.
Yeah, the person. Yeah. The identifiable information. So, I guess all in all, not really. There's not really a disadvantage to it.
Okay. What if you were using actual grain silos and you're dumping them in a lake?
Right. Yeah. The fish are happy.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that's what I was hoping we'd cover here. People hear about this concept of a data silo. I guess our bottom line is just put all the data together. It's not prohibitive to do that anymore. And I could understand 5-10 years ago, it was. You didn't want to do that because it was going to be expensive. If you weren't going to get use out of it right away, you don't want to try to justify that ROI. Or it might be hard to justify it. And now you don't have to worry about it that much. The investment's not that big to have it available, and it's likely you'll get the ROI quick.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Much more accessible.
All right. Talk to you next time.
See ya.